Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Worship Q&A podcast. This is Dwayne Moore. Each week, we try to answer questions that worship leaders are asking. Today's topic is one about spontaneity and structure in a service. But before we get to that, I want to tell you that by the time you are listening to this podcast, I and my team from Next Level Worship are probably in the air somewhere flying over to Africa. Please pray for us as we embark on the Africa Training Tour, as we're calling it, because it really is that. We're going to be in four countries in Africa training worship leaders, training pastors about worship and leadership. Literally hundreds of worship leaders and pastors are already signed up and excited to come to these conferences. And we will also be doing outdoor evangelistic events. So please pray for us as we seek to do what we believe God has called us to do at Next Level Worship. Go to our website at nextlevelworship.com/prayer-partners and please sign up there for monthly updates and requests that we need you to pray with us about. That's nextlevelworship.com/prayer-partners. This topic of how much structure we should have in our worship gatherings is often on the mind of worship leaders. A few weeks ago, at one of our worship leader lunches, a worship pastor from a large congregation said to me, "Dwayne, how do we maintain being spirit-led when we are so restrained by time and technology?" Well, I certainly don't have all the answers to that question. However, I do have some thoughts that might help us with this healthy tension of planning versus spontaneity. How do we reconcile 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, that says God is not the author of confusion, with 1 Thessalonians 5:19 that says, "Quench not the Spirit"? I believe those two verses can come together quite tastefully, especially when we as God's chosen people come together to praise Him. For the past several years, I've had the privilege of putting together the tech schedule for the Strength to Stand Student Conference in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. The tech schedule is 15 pages long. I can say without hesitation that of all the thousands of programs and services I've planned over the years, planning this conference's schedule is by far the most difficult, but also one of the most rewarding that I've done. Scott Dawson and his team lead this amazing student conference that has grown now to close to 10,000 students each January. I actually helped Scott start this conference and led worship at it for several years. Now just imagine 10,000 students spread out in four different venues or theaters across Pigeon Forge. Then try to imagine a total of eight groups of students, two at each venue, meeting back to back. One group of 1,500 finishes, then another group comes in just 15 minutes later. On top of that, our speakers and concert artists move around from venue to venue to minister to all eight groups. Talk about a logistical nightmare. A person can get dizzy-headed just thinking about it. Normally, everything runs like a well-oiled machine. However, there was that one time when it looked like things were about to go off the rails. Midway through the conference, I was informed by the conference director of a serious problem. As it turned out, the tech crew of 70-plus people had mistakenly been given the wrong schedule, and it didn't coincide with the schedule the students and their leaders had been given. We had Casting Crowns coming in that afternoon for a sound check, but now the times that we had scheduled for them to set up was wrong. As the reality of this unwelcome news set in on me, I could just imagine those students arriving before Casting Crowns was even finished sound checking. The only thing I knew to do was get away by myself and pray. I had to have time to rethink the schedule and see what we might do to salvage this potential fiasco. Well, long story short, the Lord showed me a way to rework the schedule so that it was better than I had originally planned it. In fact, the reworked schedule allowed extra time for the invitation that evening. Over 250 students came forward trusting Christ as their Savior, and the students never knew we ever had an issue. Isn't that just like our God? I share that story to emphasize that both planning and spontaneity are vital. It's necessary to plan and structure the events of the service in advance, so every element, every song, testimony, video, etc., is carefully prepared and thought through. We should ask questions like, will this particular song add to the flow and theme of the service we're planning? We should also plan out as many distractions as we can possibly foresee. And we need to clearly communicate our plans. Clear communication helps keep down confusion, which we know God doesn't like or want. I like to think of a well-written, pre-planned order of worship as one of those popcorn buckets you can buy at dollar stores. Maybe you've purchased one before. So what's the purpose of the bucket? People don't buy it so they can enjoy the bucket. No, we only buy the bucket for the popcorn that's inside it. In the same way, we shouldn't be so focused on getting every detail of the order correct so that we miss the reason for the order of worship in the first place, which is to worship the Lord. Think about the container itself. The tub provides the structure that the unpopped popcorn needs. The walls of the bucket give it direction as it pops. However, when things get popping inside that tub, the tub doesn't restrict the popcorn. Rather, it allows that wonderful smelling stuff, especially if it's buttered, to come bubbling right out of its top. Do you see the parallel? When all the necessary planning and preparation have been done, we're ready for the actual worship event. When God begins to move in people's hearts and lives during the service, in other words, when things get popping, if you will, our planning and structure should simply act as the sidewalls of a popcorn bucket. In other words, the pre-planned structure of a service should serve to do no more than direct our spontaneous and sweet-smelling praise toward the nostrils of our King. To state it more briefly, we should put all the necessary ingredients in ahead of time, then turn on the oven of prayer and praise, and then get out of the way. No telling what God will do if we will entrust the service, His service, to Him. As one of Scott Dawson's senior staff members said to me recently, "Dwayne, if God wants to bust out of our schedule and lead us in another direction, that's His call. He's in charge of it all anyway." I believe that when we approach our worship planning with that kind of humility and surrendered attitude, our awesome God can trust us and help us plan services in advance in just the way He wants them. He can even work within our tight time frames if He needs to. After all, He's God, and it only takes Him a minute to radically change a heart. So how much structure should we have in our worship gatherings? Here's a simple rule of thumb we can apply as we sit down each week to plan services. First, second, and third, we should pray. And then we should only add as much structure to a service as is helpful and absolutely needed. Thank you for joining us for this worship Q&A today, and I hope that I've given you some food for thought here. We'll try to revisit this question in a future podcast because this is so very important as we plan and lead services to understand the healthy tension between spontaneity and structure. You can find the written text of this podcast on our website at nextlevelworship.com/podcast. Please again, pray for us as we are in Africa. We will look forward to being back with you next week. Thanks.